will have no dominion over you. Since you are not under the law, but under what?
Grace.
What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you are entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The subject this morning is, this is the last time.
Right.
This is the last time. Open the doors and bring them in. Open it up. Have them come in and have a seat. Amen. They look good, don't they? They will still get a chance to do what they have to do. I'm not taking away from none of the program. I'm just changing the program. This is the last time. This is one of my most favorite statements of all time. My wife would hear it and laugh because she know I would say it often. This is the last time. What do I mean when I say this is the last time? Quite simply, this is the last time I'm going to eat this much food. This is the last time I'm going to do something that I should not do. This is the last time I'm going to be in this situation. How many of us have been there as we're trying to get our lives right? This is the last time I'm going to be late for church. This is the last time I'm going to be late for my job. This is the last time I'm not going to meet somebody when I said I was going to meet them. You got to understand that the time that God gives you is precious and important.
Well,
the problem is that we like to waste it because we believe we have all the time in the world. But my question is, who in the world told us that we had time?
All right.
Now, the Bible, it says that should we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? So obviously you are obeying who? Your flesh. Your flesh has taken over your number one position because it's because of your flesh is the reason why you do what you do and don't do what you're supposed to do. You battle not with your spirit. I wish it was with the spirit, but we battle more with flesh, and the spirit normally don't have a chance to put a foot in. Because what the spirit wants is not what the flesh wants.
Wow.
In the flesh, you can feel it.
Wow.
The spirit is inside of you.
Wow.
But you know when you're yearning beyond what's wrong and what's right. Some of us struggle, and I know it. Because I can hear the struggle at home, baby, we got to go.
Yeah.
I got to be there on time.
Yeah.
Or kids, y'all need to be up out of the bed. We got to get there on time.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, there is a struggle going on. And you said, you know, this is the last time I'm going to be late.
Yeah.
Paul said, hey, look, who is most important to you in your life? Who is the most important? You're getting ready for a date. You're getting all prettied up. You're smelling good. You're looking good, both men and women.
Yeah.
You're going to make sure you be on time for your date because you want to make a good impression, right?
Yeah.
At least those who want to make a good impression. You got some folks, I don't care what, they always going to be late. But the fact is that if you care about it and it becomes important to you, then you're going to make sure you're where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. So I'm sitting there and I'm saying, you know, Lord, I know the right thing that I'm supposed to do. And I know the wrong things that I'm not supposed to do. But yet I'm having a struggle with my flesh doing the wrong stuff, not putting you first, taking the cross for granted. And it's a constant struggle because my wife would tell you that I use this phrase more than I ought to. I go on all right, this is it. I'm getting ready to knock this weight off. Just came out of the hospital, cut back, not eating the same stuff. And then here comes the peach cobbler and ice cream.
Come on now.
And so I'll find my favorite line. Now, this is the last time I'm going to indulge in this peach cobbler and ice cream.
Come on now.
Who am I lying to?
Come on now.
Because until I make up in my mind that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and that I'm going to take care of what God gave me for however long he gave me, I'm not going to do right by my own temple. And so we are making decisions as if we don't know who we belong to. We're making decisions as if we don't know where we're going when it's all over. We're making decisions as if we don't really want to live any longer on this side. Because we damage what God has given us. Let me just break down a couple scenarios of this is the last time and see if I come down somebody's street. This is the last time that I get drunk. The last time that I drink, I don't like what it does to me. This is the last time I smoke this marijuana. And don't sleep, because folk in church don't think they ain't still smoking.
Well, I know you're right,
Doc. This is the last time I'm gonna get high, because I know it ain't right. I know it alters my body, so I'm gonna work on these things, but it's the last time. Just let me get this last nickel bag. It's the last time I'm going to hit this rock.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be straight after that. I don't need it no more.
Yeah.
It's the last time. It's the last time I'm going to look at pornography. I just want to get it all out my system.
Yeah.
And then I can begin to work on moving that stuff aside. But this is the last time, Lord.
Yeah.
This is the last time I'm going to commit adultery. I realize I'm not getting what I need from my wife and this woman is available to me or this man is available to me. But Lord, it's the last time because I know I'm not supposed to be doing this.
Yeah. Help me now.
This is the last time I'm going to commit fornication.
Come on, Reverend.
Lord, I know you told me to wait until I get married, but it seems like the whole world with the movies and videos and radio and music all telling me that it's okay. Something wrong with you if you ain't doing it. But that's the last time I'm going to commit it, Father.
Well,
it's the last time I'm going to go to school and not be prepared for none of my tests.
Yeah.
It's the last time I'm going to hit my wife.
Yeah.
It's the last time I'm going to beat my kids in a way that's unbefitting to the Father.
Come on now.
It's the last time I'm going to curse my children out. I know I go to church and I know I'm not supposed to speak this way in front of them, but this is the last time, Lord, if you just get me over this hump.
Well,
it's the last time I'm going to be late. It's the last time I'm going to miss Sunday school. It's the last time I'm going to miss Bible study. It's the last time I'm not going to preach like you asked me to preach, Lord.
Well,
this is the last time.
Come on, Doc. Come on. Bring it, Reverend.
I do the stuff that I'm not supposed to do. Paul says in 20, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That means you had no idea. You just did what you did. But when you accepted Christ, there should be a difference. There should be a changeover in your life that says, I'm no longer what I used to be, but I thank God he's made me into what I'm supposed to be. But I keep battling with this last time. What advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed?
Yeah.
Death is all that could occur.
Yeah.
It's the last time.
Yeah.
The last time I want to preach a sermon like this. Mm-hmm. It's the last time.
Well.
The last time I want to get into the wrong relationship.
Yeah.
I know, Lord, that he ain't saved, but this the last time.
Yeah.
I know she ain't what I'm supposed to have, but this the last time. This the last time I'm going to miss Sunday because I got something else to do that's more important than God. My children have a football game. My children have cheerleading. Anytime something takes the place of God, there is a problem going on in your life because you don't know who the real Father is. And you say, it's the last time I want to deal with a situation like that until it arises again and you find yourself going away from God one more time.
Come on now.
I know it's hard, but it's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the last time
I'm
going to the club. I just need to get my party on one more time.
Yeah.
It's the last time I'm going to do that stuff.
Yeah.
And then, Lord, I'm going to get it right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get it right.
Straightening up myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to commit to you, Lord.
Yeah.
And so I heard myself saying, this is the last time. Far too many times. Only to fail on what I said. And then fall back on my knee to say, Lord, why? Well, I know why. I know why we say this is the last time. Because we don't do the big three.
Come on, man.
If we did the big three
consistently,
there would be no more last times.
Yeah.
The minute we remove ourselves from the big three, we open ourselves up for trouble and for attack, and have nobody to blame but ourselves. Number one, Bible study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto who? God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you ain't in it, you can't even talk about it. If you can't talk about it, you don't even know it. So if you don't even know it, how in the world do you understand what you're missing? Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. That is the first commandment.
Well,
that means you're going to be here when the service doors open and prepare for worship. If you study his word, you understand his word. When you understand his word, it automatically tells you in the spirit when you get up where you need to be. I watched them having praise and worship this morning, three people singing and one person in the pew at 10:30.
Well,
and service starts at 10:30.
Well,
it's a shame that some folk can't be late for the rapture.
Yeah.
Listen to what I just said.
Because
for all those who are late on God on this side, when God calls us up, he should delay some folk. Just so they can see what happens when you're late.
All right.
I can see it now. Did my wife just disappear? Did the rapture just take place?
Yeah.
And I'm still here. Can you imagine the fear and fright after all of your time in church and studying the Word of God, only to 5 minutes later be caught up talking about, "Ooh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. What took you so long?" "Oh, I was just doing to you what you do to me." Bible study is essential to your existence and to your life. I think I'm playing if you want. You can read all them Harlequins, romance novels, and all that comic book and all the stuff you want by E. Lynn Harris and everybody else, but won't none of them things fix your life. You can read all the health, self-help books you want in the world, but won't none of them speak to your situation. There's not but one word that God has ordained from the foundations of the world to be able to feed your soul, lift you up, turn you around, and place your feet on solid ground. And that is in the word of the books. 66 books of pure, hardcore word that'll strip your heart and build it up at the same time. Got more romance enough right in there. Got all the violence you want. Got all the love you want. Got all the relationship. Got all the competition. Whatever you want, the Bible has it in store. So we need Bible study. Number two, prayer life. How can you go a whole week and not pray to the Father? At least a real and sincere prayer. Not a hatched out prayer that you say every day, which has no relevance or meaning. I'm talking about real, whole, soul searching prayer that makes you get down and dirty and brings you to tears sometimes. Because it tears your heart out of its frame when you realize the wrong that you're doing to the one who saved you in the first place. Ephesians 3:14 says, "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ for prayer." Psalm 5:3 says, "My voice shall thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. I will look up." We're so busy looking down. We're so busy having pity parties and trying to figure out where we're going and why we ain't getting there, when nobody in the world has just tilted their head toward an upward position and said, "Lord, I need some help in this situation." Oh, yeah, you call your friend, you call so-and-so and say, "I'm having struggles here. I need some money here." Nobody said, "Lord, I need some help. Send me something while I do what you asked me to do." See, you want some help, but you don't want to do what God has asked you to do. I got a brother who's in jail still sending me checks. He done sent me $20 last week. Now, he need every dime he has, but he realized that God is even greater. I got folks sitting right here with health and well-being doing fine and putting $5 in the church.
Come on, God.
You don't know who it is because you haven't spent no time in Bible study and you ain't spent no time in prayer. I got folks who love to make money, love to even work on Sunday, but that's all I got to do, Reverend. No, that ain't all you got to do. If anything, I say it again, if it removes you from your worship with God, it is a man-made necessity, and Satan is working on you. Because as long as I can keep you out of the word and keep you from getting built up, you're being torn down. But, Rev, you don't understand. I don't have to understand. God is the only one that has to understand what it is that we do and how we do it. Now, if you can convince him that you have to work, then praise the Lord. Like I said, an NFL player, his job is on Sunday. He has to play on Sunday. He gets paid to play on Sunday. None of your children getting paid to play on Sunday. No cheerleaders are getting paid to cheer on Sunday. No softball players, no basketball players, nobody. You have to understand who's running your show. You have to understand why you stay in the trouble you stay in, because you don't know who he is. The reason for prayer, bowing the knees, looking up, lifting up the soul, lifting up the heart, pouring out your heart, pouring out your soul, calling upon the name of the Lord, crying to God, drawing near to God, crying to heaven, beseeching the Lord, seeking God, seeking the face of the Lord, making supplication. Everything I name has a scripture reference.
Well,
it's a lot of things get all put in the Bible about prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer is your one-on-one communication with God. Buddha don't have that.
Yeah.
Muhammad don't have that. Yeah. As-salamu alaykum all you want, but if you can't get directly to God,
then
who you talking to?
Well,
you got folks who are following a false religion, following Satan, who spend more time praying than the children of God. That's something wrong with that issue. I got the mosque filled up to capacity, and they going straight to hell, and here it is, God's house, those who are on the kingdom, going to heaven when it's all said and done, and you don't have time for Bible study, you don't have time for Sunday school, you don't have time to make sure you in place by 10:30 or whatever time your service starts. I got a problem, and I don't understand it. The minute that God is late for you, you are crying and you are up against the wall saying, Lord, how could you forsake me? How could you leave me? But yet you do the same thing to him every day. We talked last week about how you get your day count and your day plan, and you got everything figured out but God's time. Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. Fellowship. That's a curious word.
Come on now.
But God has it there.
Yeah.
Because God knows that you can't make it by yourself.
Woo.
He knows you're going to need somebody along this journey.
Well.
2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So that means you can't have fellowship with unbelievers who are leading you in the wrong direction when you should be trying to go in the right direction. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? So we got the wrong people that we fellowship. Now see, we come to church on Sunday. And we call that fellowship. But Monday through Saturday, we hanging out with the world. Then come back to the altar to cry on Sunday to figure out why we so messed up. Because you ain't fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters in the word. If you don't have like minds, if you're not going the same place, now if you're sitting here and you're drinking with Brother Moore, Brother Scott, and everybody else in the church, then y'all on the wrong side. Because you need to find some folks who say, well, you know what? We ain't doing that. We have a higher authority. We have a moral authority. So the things that we did in the world, we should no longer be engaged in. Huh? So you better get you some of that apple cider. I can say it because I know it happens in the church.
Well,
we are the only ones who have a half walk with God.
Well,
other religions, they ain't halfing it.
Well,
they done cut off pork. Ain't nothing wrong with the pig.
Well,
but they ain't eating it. Why? Because it's against their religion.
Well,
they don't fool with beef because it's against their religion. The cow is sacred in India. We have the one true God.
Yeah.
And we give him absolutely nothing.
Well,
we give him our leftovers. Not our best. Because if we gave our best, this place would be full to capacity. You know why? Because not only would you be here on time, but you have somebody with you.
Come on now.
Because you will be concerned about their souls like Jesus was about ours. The problem is that we only care about ourselves.
Come on now.
I want to get my Bible on. I want to get my preach on. I want to get my song on. I don't want nobody to share in what I do, because if I let them share, then they're going to expect me to walk this way the whole time. And I ain't trying to do it the whole time.
Well,
not me. I love the Lord, but I ain't that, you know, come on now.
Yeah.
I got grace, right?
Yeah.
Ain't no way I can bring you to church with me on Sunday and go to the club with you on Friday.
Yeah.
I don't have to announce that I'm a Christian, should I?
Yeah.
Should my walk, should my talk, should my life, the things I do, speak for me?
Come on.
1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Acts 2:42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I'm tired and hot. Bible study, a necessity if you're going to walk with Jesus. And if you're just going to walk, you do what you want. If you're mad at me, I could care less. You don't like the church, I could care less. I got one thing to do while I'm here, and that's preach the gospel. I don't preach to please you, and I don't preach to hurt you. I just preach what he gives me. And when he told me to get up and preach right now, I said, but Lord, just preach. Shake it up. Do something different. So somebody should come in after 12. And they wonder, but what happened to the sermon? Y'all can say, you should have been there. Bible study, can't live without it. Prayer. There's no way you can move without prayer. You want to talk to God each and every day, and you don't want to talk as if you don't know who you're talking to. And the only way you can know who you're talking to is you got to study his word. Get you a prayer group. Get you a prayer partner. Get you a prayer posse. Get some folks who you know just know how to pray. Just call up on the phone and say, look, I don't want to talk. I just want to pray together. I just want to just let somebody pray over me. I want somebody to lay some hands on me. I want somebody to touch me and take me from this position and put me at a higher position. Because right now, I'm feeling kind of down. So I need a prayer partner in my life. And you don't want to get somebody who you don't see nowhere except for on Sunday morning. Because they don't have no power. I know they don't have no power because they have no connection to God because I see none throughout the week. Well, if you ain't at Bible study, don't pray for me. Well, you ain't at Sunday school, don't pray for me. Well, you ain't at church one time, please don't pray for me. Because you got issues you're dealing with and you have not put the world or the flesh aside to be able to meet God. God said, meet me where I am. How are you going to meet him
come on.
If you don't even know about him?
Come on, Reverend.
If you ain't talking to him, you ain't sharing with him, you ain't showing the love with him, you don't even love your own brothers and sisters. We got grets and grudges against folks for silly and stupid things. And we supposed to be above that. We Christian. We've accepted God. But they hurt me, Rev. So what? We hurt the Lord each and every day. He still loves you. He still calls upon you. He still wakes you up in the morning. He lays you down at night. He puts food on your table, clothes on your back. So what? Somebody don't like you. So what? They speak bad about you. Did they spit in your face? Put a crown of thorns on your head? Did they whip your back until it was burst asunder? Did they hang you up on a cross, stretch you high and wide, and leave you there to die? If they ain't done none of that, then I can forgive them. I can keep being who I am and not let them dictate who I am toward them or anybody else. They don't control my life. They don't run me. God is my Father. I feel Jeremiah's pain. He didn't cry because he was weak. He was crying because he couldn't understand and he felt the compassion of God for his people and just wanted them to do what was right by God so God could bless Israel. I just want y'all to do what's right by God. Not me. I could care less. Truthfully, I didn't put none of you here. But God did. And because he cares. That's why I care. Because he gives me a caring spirit for those who don't even care for me. So I got to go beyond what my flesh may think. And engage what my spirit tells me. That I might live a more complete and fulfilling life. You spend your time being mad. That's causing your own self-pain. Bible study. Get on track. Your prayer life. Get down on your knees and start talking to the Father.
Yeah.
Each and every day, and let him know your wants and your desires, as well as pray for other folk. It ain't always about you.
Yes, sir.
Pray for people who need to have some prayers for them, like folk prayed for you when you wasn't praying for yourself. And fellowship. Fail not to assemble with the saints. Don't let your jobs, don't let sports, don't let other things take you away from creating a fellowship with those who are going after the will of the Father. Because if you hang with them, that means that 9 times out of 10, you're going to be in the right place versus the wrong place. You had to worry about a drinking issue coming up. You don't have to worry about a drug issue coming up. You don't have to worry about dealing with fornication or adultery. You don't have to worry about the things that keep tearing you out of the frame, because you're with folks of like minds and you're moving toward the cross and not away from the cross.
Yeah.
Listen, and I'm done. The rapture is coming. Christ is coming back. And as I tell my Bible study, I'll tell y'all since y'all ain't never there. But as Christ's kingdom moves out, Satan's is being ushered in. Each and every day, Christ, the church, is being moved to an out position. And Satan is gaining a stronghold. So if you understood the word, you know that the end is coming. How near, I have no idea, because my God is a long-suffering and patient God to reach his people. But I do know that every day that we are alive, we move closer to the rapture. And when it happens, you don't want to be late. You want to know who the Father is right now. Because if you don't, as Mr. T says, I pity the fool who misses it. This ain't a game. This ain't a commercial break. This is real life. And it's played for keeps. Either you on his side or you on the other side. You got to decide what you want to do. And so today when you go home and say, that was a great sermon, and then I present it with your issue, please don't say, this is the last time.
All right.
Say no. Today, the deal is done. And I'm moving forward. And there are no more last times in my life. Because there ain't nothing that you can do that'll fix it. Only Christ will bring it home for you. Only Christ will fix it and make it complete. Do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? Because if you don't, there are going to be some serious consequences and repercussions.
Oh, I know that's right.
Doors of the church are open this morning.
All